We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us, for we're trusting the Lord will make our broadcast a blessing to you. We're opening our service with the selection, Wonderful Words of Life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life.
Jesus Christ is the living Word. We are told in John chapter 1 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But thank God we have the Word in written form today in our Bible. And we are blessed that we have the privilege of having the written Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our pathway. Father, we do thank you for the Word of God, the living Word, who came into this world, gave his life so that we could have life. And we're thankful for the privilege of sharing his gospel with this precious people today. Wherever our broadcast is being heard, we pray the Holy Spirit shall accompany it and make it a blessing to souls. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Perversions of the Gospel. And our text of Scripture is found in the first chapter of Galatians. And I'll begin reading with verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. In the very first part of Paul's letter to the Galatians, he expresses concern about the perversion of the gospel that he had taught to them. And it is important to know the difference between the pure gospel and perverted gospel. Today, we need to be just as concerned as the Apostle Paul was in his day. Now, let's look at some of the perversions that Paul had to face. First of all, the gospel of faith plus the law. This was one of the problems Paul faced, and people were saying that they must keep the law of Moses as well as obey the gospel of Christ. We are told in Galatians, the second chapter, that the Apostle Paul dealt with this. Reading from the second chapter of Galatians, beginning with verse 1, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up to by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Peter also faced the idea that the people, the Gentiles, had to obey the law as well as the gospel. After Peter had visited Cornelius there at Caesarea and had expounded to them further the gospel, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter returned to Jerusalem, and he was brought into question as to why he had gone into the home of an uncircumcised person. They that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went in to men uncircumcised and ate with them. And Peter went on to explain that God had given them the Spirit, just like he had given the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And who was I that I could withstand God? So Paul and Peter both had to face this idea of the gospel of the law as well as the gospel of Christ. You cannot mix the two, really, because the old covenant expired when Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross of Calvary, and he brought in the new covenant. So this perversion was refuted. Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them went to Jerusalem, as I have just read, about this matter. And after different ones had spoke, James said, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. My sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood." So we read in Acts chapter 4, "Thus the church was spared from this perversion of the New Testament gospel." And we read again in Galatians chapter 5 this time, beginning with verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Now the second perversion that I would like to mention is the gospel of works without faith. This is another thing that the Apostle Paul had to face, and the other apostles as well. This perversion exalted the efficacy of forcing people to be baptized into the church and infant baptism and so forth. The Bible tells us faith is necessary to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And in John 8:24 we read, "I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." And we read in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So the gospel of works without faith is a perversion of the gospel and not the true gospel. Now, the third point, the gospel of works are good works only. And that is what the famous boxer Cassius Clay, or Muhammad Ali, after he became a Muslim, he changed his name. And he was interviewed, according to the Reader's Digest, in regard to his faith. And he said that if my good works outweigh my bad, I'll go to heaven. If my bad works outweigh my good works, I'll go to hell. So he was going to be his own savior, and he believed in the gospel, and it wasn't really the gospel, but he believed if he lived good, did what was good, that he would go to heaven. But if his bad works outweighed his good works, then he would go to hell. Many seem to have the idea that as long as you are a good moral person, you will go to heaven. But morality, as good as it is not salvation. And there are many who think as long as you are religious, regardless as to what kind of religion, you will go to heaven. But, beloved, there are many perversions of the gospel, and We need to know the true gospel if we want to make heaven our home. The true gospel, doubtless, many of the 3,000 that were converted on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached that powerful sermon, doubtless many of them were moral, religious people. But through the preaching of the gospel, the true gospel, they saw their need of salvation. Men and brethren, what shall we be or do? And Peter told them what they were to do. The Apostle Paul was a very religious man, and he persecuted the church of God, thinking that he was doing God's service. But on the road to Damascus, when that great light shined down upon him, and Jesus spoke to him, and he wanted to know, Lord, who are you? And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And when Paul was made to realize that he was wrong in persecuting Jesus and the church of God, he said, what shall I do? What would you have me to do? And the Lord told him what to do. We also read in the book of Acts about the Ethiopian man who came all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. And he was going home after supposedly worshiping there when Philip was told to go down in the desert and meet him. And he did. And the Ethiopian eunuch invited Philip up into his chariot. He had been reading the book of Isaiah, and he asked Philip, is this man talking about himself or about someone else? And Philip took the very scripture that he was reading and preached unto him Christ. And as they went along, the Ethiopian said to Philip, here's water, what does hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so they stopped the chariot, and Philip baptized him. No, he didn't sprinkle him. He didn't pour water on his head. He baptized him. But notice what Philip said. He said to him, if thou believest, then I'll baptize you. But if not, I won't. So he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's salvation. For the Apostle John said, one who really and truly believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, really believes it in his heart, he has been born again. So it takes faith, along with other things, to become a child of God. Now, the gospel of faith only. We have here now the very opposite from the works, the gospel of faith only. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. But the Bible says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. James chapter 2 and verse 19. And the gospel of Christ says, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Suppose ye that these Galileans, Jesus was telling the people about the Galileans on which the tower of Siloam fell, do you suppose these Galileans were sinners above all the others? God forbid. And he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And he went on to say, do you think those that Pilate mixed their blood with, you think they suffered that because they were more wicked than others? Nay, but I say unto you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We read in Hebrews 5 and 9, and of course the Hebrew writer here is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be eternally saved. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. And another perversion is the gospel concerning the kingdom of God. So many people today believe that the kingdom of God is yet out in the future, and it'll be a kingdom of 1,000 years. But that is a perversion of the gospel. Many religious people look for Christ to return to earth and set up a literal kingdom that'll last for 1,000 years. But this is another teaching that goes along with the Antichrist and the mark of the beast and other things, which are perversions of the gospel. What does the Bible say? The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Luke 16:16. How could people press into something that had not yet come into existence? The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my disciples fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. John chapter 19 and verse 36. Now after that John the Baptizer, was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And when Jesus said about the fulfillment of the prophecy, let me read from Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdoms shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said that the time is fulfilled. And we read in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not a literal kingdom, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, there are many other teachings in the religious world that are perversions of the gospel of Christ, and we need to be careful to receive the pure gospel preached by Jesus Christ and his apostles. Jude said that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the Holy Spirit accompany what has been said and make them a blessing to our congregation. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If our broadcast is a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us to know. Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. And our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We would invite you to be with us, if at all possible, for our services as they are broadcast over the Internet. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service begins at 6. And our midweek service begins Wednesday evening at 7. www.wayoftruth.org, our webpage address. And now, this is Alvin Craig. We thank you for being with us today on our broadcast, and we invite you to tune in next week when we come your way, the Lord willing, with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Have you been to